All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a rainy, dreary Thursday in the big city. But good news for you and for us. We're all present and accounted for. We're going to have the usual suspects for the next 3 hours. Nick's here, Barry's here. I'm here all by the seat of our pants with bad weather and horrible traffic. Fellas, what's going on?
What up? What it do? What's going down?
It's ugly out there.
Yeah, to say the least. Not what I was looking forward to this morning.
At all.
It was drizzling at the house, and I was like, oh, that's no big deal. And then once I started getting closer to town, I was like, oh, my God, this is awful.
Yeah. Yeah, I was making good time until my mother-in-law called and said she has a hard time getting the car out of the garage and through down our driveway because there's pillars. She goes, oh, before you left, I thought you were going to do that for me. I thought about it for a second. I go, okay, I'm going to say I'm already on the road. I can't do it. And then I realized, one, the car could be in jeopardy, and two, more so, I don't want to have that held against me, so I'm going back. So I turned around, and while I was driving the highway, it was great. Turned around, moved the car for her, as a good son-in-law should, got back on the road, and just entered a monsoon. And it was awful. Hydroplaning on the highway on 59, it was terrible.
Yeah, there was like flooding on the highway coming from my side. And I tell you what, I could have left at 11:50. I left at noon instead.
Same.
Those 10 minutes.
Huge difference.
Made a massive difference.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I mean, just that little time it took me to go back and then get back on the road, it was awful.
I was disheartened as I left the house this morning. So in our neighborhood, we have wild animals. We've established that thanks to Nicholas. He's said we have all kinds of animals that don't
cheetahs
exist.
And
one of the animals that does exist in our neighborhood are feral hogs.
Oh, yeah.
They got my yard last night.
Ooh, and they can do some damage.
Boy, can they. Now, we got lucky. They just got a corner of one part of my
damn
grass.
It.
But the neighbor's yard, we're probably going to get it tonight. That's all I can tell you is they probably got all the neighbors around us, and they're like, that's dessert right there. We're going to come back for this pretty yard with all that pretty grass. We're going to tear this stuff up. Yeah, I was leaving, and I'm already running late, and I drove by, and I looked, and I just stopped, and I went, son of a bitch. It's over. They're going to tear up my yard.
Those is there any hog insurance? You can't stick the bill to anybody on that one.
5 years of hard work is about to go down the drain once they come back tonight.
Because yeah, in our neighborhood, it's, believe me, it's a neighborhood-wide alert
oh,
when
yeah.
they're out.
When we get, oh, yeah, there's Facebook posts. So I was like, well, this is the beginning of the end for my yard. This is it. And, you know, you're supposed to treat for grubs and stuff, and I didn't, so it's my bad. I'm so upset, though. I'm just, like, waiting. It's just, it's going to happen, so. So that was my morning, and then, of course, you know, I went to New Braunfels last night, and that was interesting. And
what's that, 2 hours?
About two and a half, yeah, from here, and then it was about 3 to the house. So, yeah, I got it about 2:30.
There goes video game time. There goes
I'm telling you, the schedule. Well, I got
to go home and shoot the hog with yeah. one of his guns.
That sounds like a euphemism.
Is that what you call it?
Got to go shoot the hog. I like that. I thought about that. I was like, you know, when I pulled up, I didn't see them. But if I would have saw them sons of bitches.
I guarantee you would have shot.
I probably would have taken my handgun out of the car and started shooting.
Well, the thing is the first hour. And Lisa's not listening, Joel.
And it's illegal, but I would have been like, what, me? I didn't hear nothing. Did y'all hear something? I didn't hear something.
Would, like, I mean, obviously, because of the size of your property, being a small suburb, would the neighbors hear it if your gun went off?
Oh, yeah.
Would they?
Oh, yeah. Because we're near a gun range and you can hear it.
Oh.
And it's not like, and as a crow flies, it's like a mile or two away. But, they would all hear it.
Okay.
So, especially if I went in and got my shotgun. And then, It would get real bad. But I don't know that any of my neighbors would really be that upset.
I was wondering, is there an ordinance against that?
So you can't, you like...
Because they're destructive.
Yeah, it depends on the acreage, but you have to get like approval, and you can bow hunt, but you can't, like, you can't shoot your gun in a residential area. So you can't like hunt them per se, but I think you can bow hunt them if they're on a, I don't know. There was a big, obviously a big
discussion. Barry's trying to find a loophole here.
I know. I'm trying to get all my hunter friends to come over and let's just set up a blind in my yard. Just wait for the hogs to
come.
Those
things are big too.
Those hogs? Oh, yeah. They're mean.
Yep. They're very mean.
They're mean. They're big. They will attack you. Yeah, I'm, you know, now I'm not like, so the deer are in my yard a lot and they'll eat my bushes, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. Now, before it pissed me off, but then when I saw the hog damage, I was like, eh, the deer are all right. I can deal with that. So, yeah, I'm not looking forward to this week. It's going to be a sad week for Barry's.
Plus, if you're on the road and away from the house, oh, they're watching. They know when you leave.
That's what I wonder. Like, I don't know if I just missed it last night, but I know I didn't see any hogs, but I don't always just look at, you know, but
they're sitting there in the outlining spots going, yeah, you want Barry to be funny? Well, I got something funny for you.
So they did it. They had to have done it between 2:30 and this morning when my wife left because she said she saw it. So, I don't know. Maybe they did. I don't know.
Boy.
What? No, not first segment.
You learned your lesson.
Not doing it. Not doing it. Johnny, Troy, we'll get to y'all next segment. We're not taking calls in the first segment because they always suck. Always.
Hey,
period.
Sleepy Floyd, you sleep for 13 straight hours again?
I did not. I didn't go to the game, but I did not.
Why didn't you go to the game? It was the Golden State Warriors. Or as Charlie would say, the Golden State Warriors.
Or as bots would say, the G League Warriors. God, those bots were annoying last night.
You mean Kelly? Eco?
Is that what he was saying?
No, I think Kelly Eco has actually had lunch with Tad Brown a few times because he's starting to find the sunshine in everything the Rockets do.
Is he?
Yeah.
Did you notice how Charlie says the Warriors?
Yeah, you mentioned that yesterday.
He says it sounds like Warriors.
Maybe it's a New York thing.
Warriors are here. I'm like, why is it? What are they worried about, Charlie? It sounds like Warriors, not Warriors. But so you didn't go, huh? Not enough star power to drag you out?
Nah, I wasn't planning on going anyway.
Why not?
I just knew I was going to be too tired. So I just, and after the news came out that morning that Draymond Green and D'Angelo Russell wouldn't play, in addition to the absence of already Klay Thompson. And, yeah, you know, it's just not the same team. Yeah. And I'm not going to say it's a completely meaningless game for those who are doing analytics and Coach D'Antoni. Maybe they can take some things away from it and practice and use it, but it's kind of a meaningless game.
So did you watch it, though?
I did.
Did y'all watch
it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
And? I didn't watch it. I saw the score, but I was like...
The Warriors hung in there for a majority of the first half.
Which isn't good.
Which was not good at all. And that's, it just leads me to believe... And I did a sports map video on it that regardless of who you want to blame, the defense has to get better. And Bezdelic was the guy that they invested all this time and money into. And then there was the falling out. So then he left and now he's with the Pelicans. And Daryl picks the assistant coaches. And I don't think he picked anybody with the defensive frame of mind that can get these guys where they need to be right now to stop people. They have the offense. I just think that's a perfect example of in a microcosm what they're going to face this year. You took a team of literally G League players or young players that are on the up, you know, trying to make a name for themselves. You let them not only hang around, but score at will. And that's a problem because when you play the upper echelon of teams in this league, you're going to have, it's going to be a bitch to stop anybody.
Well, the good news is they're no longer the worst defensive team in the league. That's the Pelicans. They're just second worst. So, yay, Rockets.
But I mean, the second half, too, it was worse. They kept up, like Joel mentioned, in the first half, in the second half, or at least in the fourth quarter. The only time there was a big cushion in terms of points was when Harden was in the game. The second he sat on the bench, these Warriors would, with Westbrook and Capella in the lineup, these Warriors would close that 21-point lead and bring it all the way back down to like 7 or 8 really quick.
Yeah.
So that, to me, was another indicator. And the fact that James Harden kind of admits that they're still learning to play with each other, so they kind of need to speed it up a little bit at this point.
Well,
but
we're sticking to your 20 games as a sample size before we pass judgment. But there's been some pitfalls so far at the start of the season. And to give you an example of what I'm talking about with Kelly Eco, you know, as you just pointed out, where they sit defensively as a team, his headline yesterday on Twitter for his article was, but people are really not misreading this, because when you look at the lineup that's out there the most, which is Harden, Westbrook, Daniel House, Capella, and I forget what, he goes, their defensive rating is one of the tops in the league.
That was the headline?
Yeah, it was like the long Twitter of, hey, don't worry about the defense, because with these guys in the lineup, and that's the most used lineup, we're good.
That's a long-ass headline.
Yeah, it was a long tweet.
Oh, it was a tweet, yeah, not the tweet, headline like for his headline. Article.
And then, yeah, then you get into the article itself.
But oh, that was so the it was point a summary of it.
And I was like,
it
was come on, caption. Bro. Okay. Yeah. We all know that Westbrook and Harden are on the floor on a very limited basis. And we know that Eric Gordon obviously has, but then Eric Gordon doesn't play last night with a hamstring.
He didn't play, and a lot of times, yeah, he didn't play. And so they had to stick with the lineup that they had with Russell Westbrook, Capella, P.J. Tucker, and who was the last player?
Daniel House.
Daniel House, that's what it was.
Yeah, it's weird that in a game where you know you're facing a depleted team that's really not that good, mm-hmm. that you would, and maybe it's just for the sake of chemistry, but the fact that guys like House and Tucker are playing 38, 39 minutes against that team, hopefully the point of it was, and again, I didn't watch it, so I don't know who was on the floor at the same time. I just know of the starting five, they all played at least 30. Westbrook played 30, Harden 35, Capella 36, and I mentioned the other two. Hopefully they were playing together and getting this chemistry figured out. And hopefully this wasn't just regular rotations, just guys putting in a lot of minutes, because that wouldn't have made sense.
Well, does it also make sense that Austin Rivers, who was a guy that was a huge part of your rotation last year, seems to just get the most up and down minutes of anybody? It doesn't seem like he's hardly playing like he was last year. And he was a guy that you could rely on last year, that shot the ball well, that played smart on the floor. I think he's one of the guys that's kind of the odd man out in terms of how many, the kind of
Rivers?
Yeah.
Well, he got 27 minutes last night.
But yeah. I'm saying, if you go back and look early in the season, yeah. he wasn't getting nearly that run, and he was getting used to getting that run.
Well, that might be a product of like some of the other, because they kind of know what they're going to get with Austin Rivers. So giving a chance to guys like Ben McLemore and these other guys that they're testing out might take away minutes from a guy like Austin Rivers sometimes.
I think the other thing is Chris Paul obviously wasn't going to be pushed to the limit. So they knew that for every minute that they could rest Chris Paul, Austin Rivers would fill in, and Westbrook's not that guy. Westbrook yeah. wants to just be out there.
Yeah.
So that probably plays into it as well. But I'd like to see Austin Rivers out there a little bit more, especially because their three-point shooting's just been so-so. And you need a guy that's confident that can knock down threes, obviously, in that system. So, well, yeah. we'll talk about it. We got Rockets to talk about. We got lots of other things on the agenda. And, of course, if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. You can call that number, text that number. Always hit us on Twitter, at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Just getting started on the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back! Segment 2, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a dreary day in the big city of Houston. Tomorrow on an FEF Friday, I assume we will have a comedian of the week.
Yeah. Oh, no. We're not doing it this week. I thought we were doing Joe Rogan. That's going to be next week because we're giving away tickets, right?
Yeah, he's in town.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, but it's next week. So we'll do Joe Rogan next week. I'll have one for this week. I just don't know who.
Okay.
Maybe.
You have time.
I might not have one. I'll be honest with you. It's very possible that with everything going on, I might let you guys down. I know you'll be devastated. I know, Joel.
Did you see this? And
I probably didn't.
Darren Ravel actually retweeted this. There's a guy out there in the Twitterverse that decided to use analytics to break down James Harden's performance in every NBA city to see if there's a correlation between his box score and the city's average strip club rating.
I saw that on Twitter, but I didn't really look into it too much.
Outstanding.
I mean, it's
you'll have to tell me.
It says everyone knows Harden has a particular affinity for the Canadian Ballet, also known as strip clubs. After the Rockets' dismal performance.
Wait. It's called the Canadian Ballet?
I think that's kind of a
I've never heard that, but that's outstanding.
Kind of a nickname for it.
The Canadian Ballet.
Yep.
I like it. Okay, sorry.
So after the Rockets' dismal performance in Miami last week and the city's reputation for high-quality boob joints, he said, I became increasingly curious to see just how much Harden's vice affects his game. So here we are. I spent the better part of the work week on this. Hope y'all enjoy. The hypothesis? Harden's box score declines in cities where high-quality strip clubs exist.
Wow. But how does he rate high-quality strip clubs?
I don't know if there's a certain criteria, formula
is
that
he
is
like,
used to...
Is he out there doing the research and going to each one and rating them, or is he using Yelp? What is he...
I shall retweet this for you.
People, okay.
And then you can draw your own conclusions and hypothesis based on what is said here. But it's like, look, I told you guys Miami, but it basically... In the years that I traveled with the team, too, obviously Miami doesn't get going till about 2 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
And South Beach is something to be seen. And so I made the comparison to just being out on South Beach. But then I saw this and thought, well, and here's another theory all in itself, that if you figure Miami's full of models and beautiful women, and if their strip clubs are good, well, maybe then that's the answer that we've all been looking for. But if you were on my bookie or otherwise, I always tell you, when the Rockets are heading to South Beach and there's a weekend night involved, you might want to take the Heat.
That's pretty funny, though.
Yeah.
I love that somebody took the time to do that.
Isn't that crazy?
No, it's great. I thoroughly enjoy something that silly. So good for them.
Yeah, so there you go. That's just another little Rockets tidbit, as I'm sure we'll talk some more basketball along the way. Nick's got some stuff on his mind, too, because Nick did a little viewing last night. He stayed home and he actually watched some quality programming.
What?
And there's some things that he on his mind that we were discussing that the peeps are going to want to get in on. I like it.
Oh, you're talking about the challenge. The NBA's got to work on the challenge and the replay stuff, because that obviously did not go well for the Clippers. I know they played your Milwaukee Bucks, Joel.
Yes.
Joel.
Yes.
But Doc Rivers got screwed on that deal. And I'm actually going to the angle that I'm going to tweet out from my Twitter handle is an angle I didn't see on ESPN when I was watching. I might have missed it. But Lou Williams penetrates to the basket, goes for a shot. Eric Bledsoe tries to sell a foul, and he makes it look like Lou Williams essentially hits him in his face. So Doc Rivers challenges it, and then they say there's not enough evidence. I'll let you guys decide at the producer Nick on Twitter. I just think it's BS. But if you look at that video, you could totally tell that Lou Williams should not be called for an offensive foul.
Doc Rivers said after the game, I'm done with it. The coach's challenge to me is dead, because if this one wasn't overturned, then nothing will be. And I make the correlation between the fact that if you look at the NFL games these days, it's a wasted challenge, and all coaches should realize this. When you throw the red flag to either overturn a pass interference or to get a pass interference called where one wasn't.
You're wasting your time.
Yeah, the league is not going to call that.
Which, I was thinking about that the other day when one of those happened and they didn't overturn it, and I thought it was pass interference, and they still didn't. The call stood as a no call. What's the point then?
I can tell you what the point is.
If you're going to, that's something that egregious that decides who goes to the Super Bowl, well, then just say that it only applies to the playoffs, because if you're going to just be that picky about it, it doesn't make sense.
I agree. That's what I was going to say. The reason why this rule is in place is just to cover their ass in playoffs and big games. However, some of those big games can happen in the regular season.
Yep.
When you got a game at the end of the year that decides who goes to the playoffs, who goes home, or a wild card or whatever. So that's why it's in for the regular season as well. But again, whether you put it in memo form or you do it during a meeting at the league meetings or whatever, somehow there has to be some communication with the teams going, look, don't do this like every week. But realize it is in there to save your bacon and ours if there's a really egregious call at a big-time game.
Well, I don't like it. If you're going to have it and you're going to review it, it should be treated like everything else. It shouldn't be scrutinized
more so than other calls. Same thing that what Nick's talking about. Because if you look at the replay, what happens is...
I tweeted it out. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's so obvious that Eric Bledsoe was trying to sell the call.
Yeah, essentially, he's faking it. I mean, you know, he does the acting job. It's the Luis Scola. Essentially, you go by him, and the next thing you know...
Oh, it's James Harden?
Yeah, or it looks like... Exactly. It looks like you got hit by a sniper. It looks like Bledsoe got hit by a sniper when, literally, Barry, I kid you not, if I touched your arm like that...
Yeah.
That's the contact that happened to his cheek as Lou Williams went by him, and they called an offensive foul on Lou Williams. They looked at the replay, Every replay shows you there was not even contact to be considered, and they didn't reverse it.
Wow, he never touched him.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And I didn't even see that replay on ESPN. I saw the other, and it almost looked like he did. So they come back and say, not enough evidence to overturn. Like, really?
There was space between his arm and Bledsoe's face.
When we slowed it down and got the aerial view, it might be just the slightest, like I said, slightest of slight grazed contact.
That's just ridiculous. Not only should it have been overturned, he needs to be fined for flopping.
Well, and the other thing was, Nick, what part of the game did it happen in? Because I'm
curious.
That
was in the fourth.
So in the fourth quarter, but I would love to see the two-minute drill where they have to come back and admit their mistakes. I'd love to see them admit that mistake.
Of course.
They should.
Because that's twofold right there, because it challenges the challenge, and it challenges with the referee systems
terrible
of making decisions. All right, before we go to break, Troy wanted to get in here on the first segment, and the title of Barry's Hogs. Troy, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
What up, Troy?
Hey, Barry, I got a portable hog trap we can set out there. You can bait it, catch them, and then you can dispatch of them.
Oh, how do you dispatch of them?
A small caliber 22 or something right behind the ear normally does the trick. But we trap them all the time. You throw a little corn in there and a little hog attractant from Academy, you'll catch some pigs. I guarantee it.
Man, I might hit you up on that, Troy. Text me your number. I'm serious. If they start tearing up my yard, I may have to put a trap out.
If they get bad enough, yeah, I've got a portable trap I can bring out. You can get them. There's a way to do it.
Excellent, Troy. I appreciate it. Text your number, 713-780-3776. I'll hit you up. You know, it's funny because I thought my wife said something about a steel trap across the street, and I wonder if that guy started trapping them and putting the corn out and then attracted the hogs to our area.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Troy has, he definitely sounds like he's done this before.
I was going to say, yeah, if there's anyone that sounded like they've trapped hogs before, it'd be Troy.
I trust Troy.
We've had calls advice where you can see through them and go, that's someone just putting us on. When he breaks it down that quickly, nope, seriously, guys, you just pull out from the track, put a little corn in there, boom, just get them like that quick, they get them, then you dispose of them, that's all you got to do. When you know what he's that adamant about it, he's real. He's got that for you. I would love to see like that on film. You and Troy in the dark with flashlights trying to catch feral hogs.
Well, I don't think you wait for it. You just put the trap out.
Put that on
Sports
Map.
Put the door open and put the corn in there. And then they trigger the trap. And then you just shoot them.
I can see
you. But the problem is, if I do have a pig dead or alive in a trap, I don't have a truck anymore to haul them off. Now I'm about to put them in the trunk of my Honda.
Use Nora's car. You use it for everything else. Just use Nora's car.
No way Nora's letting me put a dead hog in the back of her car.
Did she know what you were doing with the lawnmower?
No.
So then she wouldn't know this either unless you screwed up.
Yeah, well.
There you go.
Don't say nothing.
All right. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. Hey, if you're looking about for an energy company that has the best rating that you can possibly get in the state of Texas, well then look no more. It starts there with Infuse Energy. 5 out of 5-star ratings with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. That's what you want. It's what you need. It's what they got. Josh Pestikoff and his staff do a fantastic job because they throw the mold out the window of the big energy companies that use the automated systems and just want you to sign on the dotted line and then don't tell you when your contract expires and then charge you a higher rate till you figure it out. It's not the way they do business. They don't want to pull the wool over your eyes. They're always going to be honest. So in the process of being honest, they set it up where if you call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, you're going to get a human being on the phone, not an automated system. They're going to ask you as many questions you ask them, and they're going to pinpoint the best deal and the best rate they can possibly get you. It's all part of the way they do business because of the fact that they never want you to feel like you're getting screwed over, and they always want you to feel like they know that Infuse Energy is honest. And with that being said, if there's another company out there that can beat their rates, they tell you who it is and how to get in touch with them because they don't want you to feel like you got screwed. You may not go with them then, but you'll be back because you know that they were upfront with you throughout the process. You can also check them at InfuseEnergy.com, but better yet, 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. Mention ESPN 97.5, $25 bill credit, and they go from there. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. It is Infuse Energy. Infuse Energy into your life.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the first hour of the show, it is indeed The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a rainy Thursday. Whoa.
Whoa.
Dude, believe me. What? With the sleep, deprivation, and everything. Yeah, they all just kind of blend together. So, and by the way, just a side note, I don't want to jinx this, all right? I don't want to jinx this, but I did a lot of speaking to the man upstairs and otherwise, as you knew, as I was also cursing yesterday, the fact that on top of everything we've been going through, the dog tore the other ACL. The dog walked out of her cage this morning walking perfectly.
Oh, good.
And I'm like, if that's the greatest acting job to a pulled muscle I've ever seen, so be it. I would be ecstatic. So I am hopeful that that is the case.
He was, or she was, she was pulling a Paul Pierce. She just had the
indeed.
Boo-boo. She just had the boo-boo. She was like, ah, I just needed to go potty.
Yeah.
Wasn't real. No, not a real injury.
I don't know if anybody caught this because of the fact that it was coming out right as we were coming on the air, but Charlie actually brought it to my attention. Jim Crane today made changes to his business team with the Houston Astros as he has appointed his son, Jared Crane, to the executive leadership team. And Reed Ryan is no longer team president, but moving to an executive advisory business relations role, stating in part that it will allow Reed to concentrate on his other business interests.
So I wonder whose idea this was.
I got to believe this is a Jim Crane thing.
Crane, for sure.
But if Reed Ryan has other businesses that he's wanting to pursue, and he, but they still, you know, because it might be, hey, I'm going to step down because I want to go do these other things. We've got a World Series. We got close. I'm done with this. I'm as far as I'm going to go in an organization. I've got other interests that you know, keep my flame lit or whatever. You don't know. He might be burned out on baseball. I don't know. But I wouldn't just jump to the conclusion or assume that it's a Jim Crane move. Now, obviously, you want to think that because of his kid. And getting his kid in there. But perhaps this was Reed Ryan tried to walk away and Crane said, no, just be a consultant for us. You only got to work part-time. You only got to get paid part-time. And
I think it's a viable theory. It could very well happen. I also think this could be a complete positive. I mean, he's obviously his son. I've been in a family business. I get it. As long as the son is not a turd when he's dealing with everybody,
that's,
I mean, that part can kind of suck.
Right?
I mean,
is that where the Sciarra business went wrong?
No, not at all. Not at all. But what I'm saying is Reed Ryan is he's got a job for life regardless. So this is not a bad situation. If the son can grow into the business and become, you know, a real owner of this team, it doesn't necessarily hurt Reed Ryan. He can move on and get a gig. He's had a fantastic resume. It's not a terrible situation. And I just think it's a title change. It's just a setup for his son now, and he's not necessarily ready for everything, and they just give Reed Ryan a different title, and he's obviously going to consume a lot of those roles anyway. That's what I think.
I honestly believe this is an ownership move. I believe, and we've all given our opinions. This, my opinion is, this is an ownership move.
I believe
that
too.
Only time. This is not the only time you're going to see this in Houston, Texas. Because believe you me when I tell you, Tillman Fertitta is grooming his son to be the next president of the Houston Rockets,
yeah.
And even the current president of the Houston Rockets, Tad Brown, knows that the heir apparent to his chair is sitting in the owner next to the owner every night at Rockets games. And it's one of the abilities that you have that comes with being an owner. You can hire and put into position anybody you wish to, within your organization when you own the team. And so if you want to run the team, you can. Jerry Jones. And be the general manager.
Cal McNair. Under Bob McNair.
Or if you want to put your own people in place, you can do this. So Houston needs to be ready for this. I just want to see how it all plays out. Now, in the perfect scenario, that Jim Crane's son is going to be able to do exactly what Reed Ryan does. But people need to realize how good Reed Ryan is, has been, and what he's been to the fan base. Because I kid you not, and we see this all the time during the season, when people tweet him as part of a complaint of something that's happened with the concession stands, in the stands, or otherwise, he addresses them personally. He asks for all the specifics. he gives them follow through and feedback on what's happened. I think Reed Ryan, whether it be simply because of the fact that it's in the family, he's always been around baseball. He worked in with the minor league team and ran that before he got to the Astros level. But I think this could be a huge loss for the Astros. And he said he's going to be in his statement. The other reason why I say this is he said he'll be around for the 2020 season. It doesn't say anything past that. Mm. So that those are things to me that kind of send up a flag that says, I think this is just Jim Crane putting his son in the position.
You think so?
I do.
I think so. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I guess I'm in the minority.
I don't think that part's in question.
But it happens. I mean, and you could be very well be right, Barry. I mean, but the thing is that the thing that also
what
makes it
Reed
weird
Ryan's
to me.
What are Ryan's other businesses? Do we know?
No, I don't know that. What, was he the president of either, it was either Corpus Christi, the Hooks, or the Express, one or the other, but he was the president there and was instrumental in getting the new stadium and the naming rights and all those different things. Then he came to the Astros. The thing that makes this a little bit peculiar to me, too, is because Nolan is still involved on the Astros side of things, too.
Yeah, well, it says he is currently the CEO of Ryan Sanders Baseball, which owns the Round Rock Express and the Corpus Christi
Hooks. There
you
go. Okay.
So he became the president of the Astros in 2013. So he's been on the job now for 6 years. It'll be mm-hmm. 7 next year. I mean, maybe he's, you know, it would be weird if you're Crane to push him out if he owns two of your affiliates. That would seem weird.
Or it's a distraction to him that you're doing both. You're running your two affiliates and you're charged with running the day-to-day operations of the big league club. Because that's a lot to consume for anybody. Just one of those businesses with three different baseball teams. And here's the other thing that's interesting to me, guys, in this whole thing, is the fact that Jim Crane's son was named to be part of the executive leadership team. And he has confidence in his quote that our leadership team will continue to deliver on the great fan experience and customer service. That leads me to believe, much like what I've heard about Tillman and his son is, Tillman's son is in his early 20s, and they said he's not ready yet to take full control. In doing something with a leadership team, now you've got a couple of different executives with experience around Crane's son so that they can make decisions as a group until he's ready to take the reins individually. That's just how I read between the lines. And I think that the Rockets are in a similar situation, that they're grooming Tillman's son, but they're going to wait until the right time when they feel like he can grasp the reins by himself.
Could be. Hey, look, I don't know that any of us in that position wouldn't want to put our kid in a position to be able to run the franchise. Because, it takes a long – you don't just learn how to run a franchise in a year or two, right? And you know at some point Crane, if he doesn't sell it, it's just – think about what happened with Bob McNair, right? Like he groomed Cal to take over when he passed. And maybe that's what Crane is starting the process of doing, that 15, 20 years from now, his health may be failing, or he wants to take a step back and enjoy his retirement. So
you want to keep it a family business for a long time.
And so I don't have a problem with that. But as a fan, it really makes me nervous if there is a change in leadership, because you literally have the best run organization in baseball. Why would you want to change that? Now, you didn't have the best run organization in football. So the fact that Cal took over, I was like, well, let's just see what happens. Maybe he runs it better.
Right.
And I'm already like on board with some of his decisions that he's, he didn't hesitate to pull the trigger on some things. So maybe that happens. But in this case, if you've become the model franchise, the franchise that every other team in the league looks at, including the Yankees, including the Dodgers, and says, we need to do that way. Man, you hate to see things change.
And again, like I said, just from a customer service perspective in paying attention to the fans, Reed Ryan was fantastic, and that's something that I think they have to really watch. And because you think about it, we said Jerry Jones. The other one is, to your guys' point, if you own the team, you'd love to have your child take over, right, or be a part of it. But if you look at the Buss family with the Lakers, Jeannie got it. She gets it. She's head of business. The other two flunkies, the two boys, Johnny and the other one, completely screwed up basketball operations for the Lakers. They gave one of them the Sparks just so that he could have something to do. And then they finally brought in Jerry West and Mitch Kupchak so that the other Buss son would try to stay out of it. Then when they left, they let him go back into it. And it's a complete unadulterated mess on the basketball side until you get someone like LeBron or otherwise that can just start running something pseudo for you. So when you look at it, you hope that every time that an owner puts a relative in position,
that it's the right
they're capable, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Because look, just because you're rich doesn't mean your son is intelligent and knows how to, or daughter
to that.
Is intelligent and knows how to run a franchise and or a business. Because it really, at the end of the day, it's a business.
Yep.
I mean, look, you might be rich, but your son could still be a dumbass. I'm not saying that's the case with any of the owners in town or any of the ones that you mentioned. But that's the fear we have as fans.
And you got to be profitable, otherwise you can't be putting the players on the field and paying big free agent money.
I don't think that the Astros are worried about being profitable.
No, but less profitable if it's not run the right way.
True.
So,
true.
News of the day out of the Astros there. We've got plenty more to get to across the sporting world. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, please join us. 713-780-3776. That's our HR&P listener line. Call that number, text that number. Hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the first hour of the show, it's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on a Thursday in a rainy, wet Houston, Texas. As we've already covered a lot of ground in the first hour of the show. So lots of sports for you people.
Yeah.
Someone yesterday said...
Are you bitching and moaning yesterday?
Don't touch somebody said, sports. You guys are like Wendy Williams show. Okay, how you doing? Okay, now we can move on because we don't care what you think. We have fun. This is what we do. And like Barry said, if you don't like it, you know what to do.
What's funny is you'll get people that are like, you guys don't talk sports. And then we'll talk Rockets. You guys don't... Why are you talking Rockets? Look, it's sports, all right? Relax.
We're even talking the front office today of different teams.
I haven't even pulled up the text line because you know what? I'm kind of not in the mood.
I could already tell you're not in the mood.
I am not in the mood for a shenanigans and idiocy today.
This is how you can tell how tight-knit our show has become because it's like my marriage. I know the days Lisa's not in a good mood. I already know Barry's not in a good mood today.
You know, yeah.
That hog.
I kind of know you
yeah,
as
I'm
well.
Saying. Yeah, we can. Yeah. You can
that damn
get
hog.
The vibe.
No,
Nick,
there was
you,
more
on the
than
other
one.
Hand.
I'm going to take pictures of it. Wait till you see it. It was more than one hog.
Have you ever seen them before, Nick?
No, I've never. They don't really exist in my neighborhood. I don't think.
Like,
I mean, they do,
Corliss,
but they don't mess with my yard.
Corliss Williamson played at Arkansas, and they used to call him the Big Nasty. Feral hogs are the Big Nasty. They are big. They are mean. They got tusks.
Or maybe they did mess up my yard. I just didn't attend to it. I didn't really.
You just couldn't tell the difference because it already looks like crap.
It already looks all patchy
anyway.
That
either was a feral hog or a really good Friday night that Sciarra was coming home from.
Or an angry date that you kicked out that had to do the walk of shame.
Yeah.
She was like, you know what? I'm going to root around here and eat some grow worms on the way out.
I'm going to figure eight Nick's front lawn. Okay. Hey, a little added bonus because of the feral hog talk. Our hotel guy, Steve, is also an avid outdoorsman, and he wants to get in here on the feral hog talk. Steve, what's up, man?
Yeah, this should be good. Steve's a hunter. Maybe he knows what he's talking about. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Good,
man.
Good.
How are you?
Good. Hey, I'm driving in the rain. Listen, I wanted to jump in on that hog conversation for just a second, but before we get started on that, I'm wondering if Barry saw any hogs while he was up in Kansas.
Oh, plenty. Plenty of hogs in Kansas.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I figured. But in all seriousness, I was listening into that gentleman. He's a real deal. Now, I know some hog trappers, and that guy's the real deal. I just wanted to call in and verify what he was telling you.
So,
I'm probably the only hotel guy in town that actually has hunted hogs and been in there with them. So,
well, bring your bow and come over to the house. And I've got a big area of underbrush you could hide in, and when they come and root through my grass, just have fun. And you can have all the bacon. You can have the hogs. You can get them cleaned. I don't care. I just want to save my grass. Cool, man.
I'm your guy. And I got a posse of guys that will come out there and root them all out for you. How are y'all?
Very good, man. You drive safe out there, Steve.
Yeah, stay safe, man. It's ugly out there.
Aggie Joe wants
to... Take care, guys.
All right, buddy.
Everybody, see you.
Aggie Joe also wants to talk feral hogs. I didn't know this was going
to
create
way to go, Barry.
A stir.
I'm now going to be the mood
but
you have.
But you noticed it's all... Now, Aggie Joe, before you go, don't take this the wrong way. But you notice that it's all the gentlemen that may be of the... their necks might be a little redder than normal.
Not going there.
Troy and Aggie Joe. Now, Steve's not a redneck, but he hunts, so that's kind of, he's an honorary redneck. But Aggie Joe is. Aggie Joe, what's up, man?
Yes, sir. My redneck is pretty red there. and those hogs you saw up in Kansas, they were all probably wearing dresses and lipstick.
That's right.
But listen, if you want to go about this, just keep them off your land. What we did when I lived out in Kerrville was you just go, you can go to a butcher shop or Kroger or whatever you need to do. Right after they cut a hog and get as much blood, a couple pints of blood, and then just spread that out about your yard on the in the edge areas. And just spread that out right at dusk before you start going into the house for the night. Spread that all around the edge areas of your house in the grass and, you know, plenty of it, and that'll keep them away for a while. And maybe every month you might want to do it again. Because when you go and cage them and do all that, I know you're a tough Texan, Barry, but I don't know if you can handle transporting a hog. That's a lot of work, brother. And but y'all have a good day.
Appreciate Thanks, it, Joe. Thank you, Joe. This is all great information, but let me share with you one thing. That for sure, that won't be happening.
The minute I heard spread blood around your yard, I'm like, that ain't happening.
That's great advice. And it might be something that I would hire somebody to
you
do.
See Barry with one of those power squirt but guns going.
You think that my sissy ass is going to get out there with blood and spread it everywhere?
Is this what you guys do for fun out and cut and shoot? Is this what you guys do?
Let me tell you something.
I have one solution to eliminate all your problems.
Move.
Live in the city.
Move in the city.
Live in the city.
Get an apartment.
Holy.
Yeah, I don't see me going down to the local butcher shop and getting hog blood, transporting it from said butcher shop to my house. In either my Honda Accord or my wife's Nissan.
No, wait a minute. Hotel guy Steve is an outdoorsman. He's got to have a truck you can use.
If Steve's coming out, just bring your bow and some buddies. I'll buy the beer and pizza. Y'all sit in the underbrush, 3 a.m. when the hogs show up. Have at it, boys.
What was the Tool Time Tim show where the guy used to come across the
Tool
fence?
Time.
And he'd he'd open up the bushes, and sometimes he'd
have... Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I could see them, Barry just opening up the bushes going, with a little headlight on your helmet, yeah, going, guys, have at it. Here's your pizza and beer.
Definitely not spreading blood in my yard. First of all, because that's disgusting. Second of all, because my neighbors are going to be like, are you spreading blood in your yard?
Plus, it would like ruin the beautiful green, yeah, lush textures of your lawn.
Like some satanic ritual. That's just not happening. I appreciate that advice. I might take Troy up on his advice of getting a trap, putting some corn in there. We'll knock them out one at a time. I'd rather, much rather do that than the blood. And I feel like if Troy trapped it, he'll haul it off for me. I don't have to do that.
You're a trusting guy, Barry.
If not, I might have to shoot a pig in the front yard and then just deal with the police. Might be worth it. I don't know. Y'all want to take Brandon's call?
That's quite the transition. Let's go from feral hogs to the Astros offseason. Brandon, what's up?
Hey, Barry, Joel, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
Hey, love the show, man. Listen every day, too.
Thank you.
I say prediction or anything like that, but a guy that I could see the Astros kind of going in for. We all know Cole's gone in free agency, and they're trying to fix and patch up the rotation. You know, getting McCullers back is going to help, but kind of wanted to get you guys' thought. I was just reading a little bit on one of the websites out there that Cole Hamels was saying he was willing to take a kind of a year-to-year deal. He's not looking for a lucrative long-term deal now, but he wants to go somewhere where he can win and compete for a championship. And I just wanted to get your opinion on the possibility of Cole Hamels coming to the Astros on like a one-year deal and then maybe a catcher like Yasmani Grandal will hang up and listen.
Thanks. Well, first of all, Brandon, I'm a little jaded and bitter at Cole Hamels because he had a chance to come here earlier and win, and he chose not to. He snubbed the Astros and went to the Rangers.
Yep.
So Cole can eat it, all right? If he wanted to come to the Astros, I would say no. There's much better arms out there than – how old is he
Which
now?
Cole? Cole Hamels. Can eat it?
Oh, yeah, both Garrett of them, actually. Yeah. Both of them now. Cole Hamels, 35. He'll be 36 pretty soon.
I did a sports map video just before the show about potential guys that they might bring in. Cheaper than Strasburg because you poo-pooed all over my idea there. Yeah. But we can talk about that start hour number two as we kick around some Astros talk. Free agency going on right now in Major League Baseball, but unlike, as we mentioned, in the other two sports, no big signings as of yet. But just 1 hour in the books, which means 2 hours still to go. Plenty of time to join the show. It's the usual suspects. Hour number two comes up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.